Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast has just got its very first sponsor. The podcast is now proudly sponsored by MerchMonster.ie. On MerchMonster.ie, you can buy personalised hoodies, t-shirts, polo shirts, personalised snood face coverings, and a whole lot more. They've even got a product personaliser over on their website. Go over there and check it out now. They deal in one-off orders and also in bulk orders, class hoodies, team and work polo shirts, and everything else in between. Go over there and check them out now. It's merchmonster.ie. Now let's get back to this week's show.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. This is episode 45 and I'm joined today by Tordos Arsfield's main man, Sean Smith, and Tumi Vara's Enda Tracy. How are you getting on, lads?
Good, mate.
Good.
Busy weekend of GAA coming up. The hurlers are back in action against Westmeath. Camogie players are out against Offaly. We'll go with the hurling first. Westmeath looking like a victory, I would imagine. Who you hoping to see in it?
Yeah, look, the result is probably foregone conclusion already. And that's like Westmead, in fairness to them, got an awful treatment against Cork. And it was sad to see, you know, they're better than that. But all the same, it should be comfortable. And it'll probably give us a good opportunity to try a few new lads. Rest a few of the regulars that have played every match, the likes of Ronan Maher, Jason Ford, and Noel McGrath, and kind of just see what the panel is like. Give lads a run out, maybe. Mark Keogh, Owen Connolly. We haven't seen Billy Seymour yet. Maybe James Quigley. These sort of lads, see what they're about. There's no point in having them there if you're not going to give them an opportunity. So I'd imagine you'll probably start a few regulars with a bit of experience. Maybe give John McGrath a chance to get some form going because he hasn't poked the ball really in the matches he's played in so far. Probably start Paddy again, fullback, let him try and bid in there and get solid there for championship. But it's a no-win if Westmeath give us no challenge. If you hammer them this Ayrshire, it's Westmeath. If they run you close, not playing well, shouldn't have played so many fringe players. But it's another match and it's needed, you know?
Yeah. I suppose, Sean, the one thing we want to get out of it is the 2 points, but we want to try players as well, but we want to be settling on a full back now. I mean, Brian McGrath played the first 2 games. I thought he did quite well. Paddy was there for the last game and he did well. Is Paddy going to, if Paddy's picked there, he looks like our championship full back.
Yeah, and if Paddy's picked there, like you can see Barrett and Heffernan either side of him, like I'd take that in the full back line if it's solid, set in stone, you know, write it down on the paper. But it's chopping and changing a bit. I know they're like trying lads, but we had this conversation, to be honest, last year and the year before in this podcast. Who's number three, like, you know? And by all means, we played in our challenge match there last thing against Dublin and didn't exactly show ourselves up either. We only the most his second team output. No name stood out that gave a performance. So Sheedy might throw a lot of them into the game again now against Westmeath and see where they're at. Shane was reported to be maybe be back near fit. There's no sign of him last weekend anyway. So unless this weekend we see him, but haven't heard anything else since on him.
Yeah, it would be a nice easy game in the for Shamey to come back into. He'd probably see a lot of the ball, be able to maybe get into some bit of a rhythm.
Yeah, even a half an hour, bring him on in the second half or start him and take him on at half time. you know, he needs, if we're going to win in All-Ireland, we need Shamie firing. I think that's very important. Don't want to rush him back either. You know, he has the experience. He'll get the sharpness back quick. He's a good hurler. He doesn't need that much to get the eye back in. So mm-hmm. I'd be careful with him, but he needs to get moving at some stage before championship.
Yeah, Sean, Enda just said there about getting the team for championship and Shamie needing game time. And I suppose we've been a bit lackluster in front of goal over the three games. Shamie creates space. He's needed, isn't he, there in the full forward line?
Oh, he's for sure. He comes out and wins the ball, and I feel you get Jake Morris into it more with Shamie's side, to be honest. You know, they kind of feed off each other a good bit. And Warner's coming on to an end like Stan McCormack. We haven't bothered now, so that's the loss there on that side. You know, the lad running off the shoulder. And Bubbles, like, you know, he caught some balls last year. You know, these lads with experience of Shamie around them, they'll drive on. But one thing with Shamie, there's no point in rushing. Then they said, if I see him for 20 minutes against Westmeath, the game is on live, and it's for then afterwards, or I'd be happy enough and see how he goes. But if he's not there, I have no worries either, you know.
Yeah.
But we know what he offers, like, to be honest.
Yeah. Who else are we expecting to see in the... Billy McCarthy might be back. Sheedy had said earlier on the time that he was possibly fit for June. We're in June now, but I don't know whether he'd be fit. Andrew Ormond seems to be going well in training. Alan Tynan, the rugby, who's come back from the rugby, Munster rugby, would we see him? Are these guys there for kind of the long haul rather than being options this year?
I think Alan Tynan's a long term thing. I don't think we'll see him soon. I think there's not going to be 7, 8, 9 changes. I think there'll be 3 or 4, max 5 of lads starting that haven't got games yet, and maybe a few subs coming on. I'd like to see Connolly get a run, throw him in cornerback maybe. Craig Morgan as well, like, there was a lot of lads on Premier View there expecting him to be starting come championship. So I give him a twist as well.
In addition to Craig, they're in. The Craig was injured there for, he knocked there for a few weeks. That's probably why that set him back.
And you know, there's loads of options there. Like, when we look at those lads, they've all been very good under 20 hurlers. We've the regulars there. We've a fair grasp on what the team is going to be, especially the back line, and maybe one or two places in the forwards. But there's loads of options on that panel. That's, there's a lot of exciting players there, but they just need the time. They need the game time to get in. And I don't think there is enough game time.
I think we know 5 or 6 backs at the moment.
Yeah, we do.
The number 5 position is probably the one that's up for grabs. I think Barry and Cahill have cemented 2 and 4. Shamie Kennedy, the way he's played, is probably in at 6. Ronan is there at 7. And then I suppose it's, where do we play Paddy? I think if you pick the 3, he's there for the championship, and then it's just filling that number 5 spot. Brendan Maher only came on. He's only done probably maybe the bones of a half an hour over the 3 games. He probably needs game time in his legs as well.
Yeah, I think Brendan's a starter. If you say 5 and 6 backs, I reckon it's 6. If you start Paddy full back, you've got Barrett and for Heffernan and Kennedy centre back, and the 2 Mahers on the wings. I think that's a certainty if they're all fit.
Yeah.
The only question is maybe John McGrath's not hurling well, Jake Morris isn't hurling well. They're kind of playing themselves off the team rather than putting themselves onto it. There might be a place in the forwards. Paddy Cadell is putting up his hand for a place midfield. In fairness, I thought he was good against Cork, no. But it's a settled team, and there's a bit of freshness been injected. We just need to see what the options are from the bench, I think.
Yeah, the middle of the field, you're picking Brendan at number 5. That, does Noel come into the middle of the field then beside Cadell, or do we stick with Breen, who has been erratic, I suppose, in his whole career rather than even this year?
I put Noel back midfield, to be honest. Maybe give Breen a twist wing forward, even though it's very competitive there, because I think you need Niall O'Mara starting and you need Dan in the half forward line, I think, to complement the other forwards. Mm-hmm. So there's somebody big is going to lose out and they're not going to be happy about it. Unless they sacrifice, obviously, John McGrath. Look, if he's not hurling up to scratch, Jake doesn't play well in the last few matches, maybe you put in another workhorse there.
Yeah, that's like Dan and Niall in the half forward line, and I suppose Shamie and Ford are probably certainties in the full forward line. So you've two spots that, like Bubbles, John McGrath. Who else have we there? shown. There isn't really anyone else. Jake Morris, I suppose, has played but isn't shown, as you said. As much as guys are playing themselves off the team, I don't know, is there anyone putting their hand up saying that they need to be on it either?
That's interesting, yeah. And Mark Keogh as well, he's, he made a good impact in 19, didn't show up last year, really. He's a lot of ability. Maybe he comes into the equation if he plays well, but look, there's two places max up for grabs in that team. You could name 13. Whether it's a good or a bad thing, I don't know, but they're playing well and they're all justifying their place, so...
Yeah.
That's it.
The one thing we just said at the start of the year was one of the earlier pods that there's place up for grabs, but the thing is, so far, our more veteran players are putting their hands up and holding on to them place, which, it's great to see, to be honest.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Billy McCarthy? Is he fit or?
May not see him. I'm not sure, but probably won't see him in the near future at the moment, unless I know.
Yeah.
In a couple of weeks, he's not going to have anything with me either. So, it's touch and go with him.
Yeah, there's Westmead. You guys are too young to remember. Westmead beat us twice in the 80s. I don't remember it either now, to be honest. But there's no fear that's going to happen to us this year.
Absolutely not, no. Look, they've got good hurlers in Westmead. There's a few great hurlers there. Tommy Doyle is a right good hurler. Killian Doyle, Angus Clark. I feel bad for the weaker counties are at much more of a disadvantage with the preparation time. They don't have the players there to be coming in week on week, replacing lads. And the shot against Cork. They're better than that. They're definitely not that bad. But look, it'll be a handy win, you'd imagine.
Yeah.
And I'd hate to see them getting another treatment, really, but... Still, if it's against Tip, I know it's
One of our lads comes in and one of our forwards will score 3-5 or 3-6.
Yeah,
happy take, Well, again.
But I would say a lot. Jamie Callanan is the only man on the panel with a league medal, and it would be a terror as much as we downgrade the league. It would be a terror to see Paddy Maher, Brendan Maher retire without a league medal, and we have a right chance now at the moment. Cork. While it's in Cork's hands, they have Limerick and Galway to play. It could come down to score difference. We need to run up probably a big score the weekend. Or will the boys be bothered? Would Paddy Maher be bothered if he retires without a knee?
Not if he has a fourth All-Ireland medal. I wouldn't be too concerned with it, to be honest. I don't think they will either. I think Shay Sheedy will be telling them that.
Yeah.
Especially with no final, it'll be kind of it won't be a league medal where you go up the steps and lift the cup. It'll be you win on score difference. We're not playing the final.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tricky one. Sean, Westmead, they want to be playing against the bigger counties, but is it doing a disservice to them to be putting them into a group with the four teams that they're with? I mean, would they be better off if the league was split more evenly and a Kilkenny maybe were in 1A and they were in 1B with a Kerry and a Laois and maybe an Antrim or whoever was there, they could get competitive games rather than four trimmings, which I don't think will do them any good and won't do the four teams in Division 1A any good either.
No, it's not. It's kind of unfair balance. And one thing... It maybe have a different feel about it if there's crowds at the games and there's a couple of thousand Westmead hurlers above Spade to see the match, driving the game on above. But when it's on behind closed doors as well, then it is not worth, I don't think it's worth much, to be honest. It's a giant step up to took in, and they're in against teams that are season campaigners, which is what will they learn from this league campaign, you'd wonder,
Yeah.
They're knocking back more than bringing forward, which you don't want to see, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I
don't see... Antrim, which are going the opposite direction. Antrim seem to be driving on from it.
Yeah, Antrim doing great work with Darren Beeson doing great work up there. They're going fierce well. This Westmead game is on GA Go, I think, over the weekend, and that's the only place we'll be able to
see it. I think it's actually the Ford and TD at 5:25, I think. Yeah.
All right.
I think it's actually on TD4 after a Villar game, so...
Right. Well, it won't be on GA Go then, if that's the...
The worst thing is if Tip win well, as we expect, I still want to watch 20, 30-point hammer, and a lot of people might, we'll have to do it,
Last weekend in the footballers, they lost to Offaly. It put them out of contention for the knockout parts of the league. Well, they're in the knockout, but it's relegation. That's a disaster for David Power, isn't it?
Absolute disaster, yeah. Fairly well at half time during the game, but it just shows they don't really have the depth in that panel. Niall McAmey coming on and finishing the game, really, he's a class player. But now they have a tough fixture. They got the away fixture against Longford, and the way they're playing now, it's a really big match, and they're not certainty for it. They need Bill Maher back starting, Kevin Fahey. They need the big players back. They need to produce a lot more. Longford aren't a bad team, and especially going up there, it'd be a terrible year if they got relegated.
Oh yeah, I mean, Division 4 football next year is going to do nobody any good. Like Sean, both Tip and Kevin could be relegated, which is probably, considering they were both provincial champions not 6 months ago, it is a bit of a disaster for the two counties.
Oh, it is, yeah, for sure. It's just, as I said, the panel, we haven't, we're missing key players. It's probably the same, to be honest, in our Ireland panel. If you got Power, Rowan and Brendan, Normal Grand, like them, like, you haven't the depth at all in the football. No, you've a bit of depth in Hurling, but when you're missing them in the football.
Yeah, you're missing your entire half-back line. Like, if we lost our entire half-back line in the Hurling, that's, we wouldn't be winning too many matches in the All-Ireland series.
Like. Yeah, that's the thing. It's like going back to, I suppose, when Kilkenny were winning the four All-Irelands in a row and the second-best team was supposed to be the second 15. It's utter rubbish. Like, yeah, if you lose your big players, no matter what county you are, you're a goose.
It'll be just disappointing as well, the footballers then, you know, the league game, and then if Kerry overcome Clare, then it's a knockout game against Kerry, and the Kerrys are going to be gunning this year, for it. They're going to be.
Yeah, it's a huge match against Longford. If they have to win it, or it's an absolute disaster of second-year syndrome, talk about second-year syndrome if they lose that, and then you're more than likely going to lose to Kerry.
Yeah.
They have to win it to salvage anything out of the year.
Yeah, I was talking to was it Marissa and Marty there last week, and I was saying, do Tip thrive on being the underdog? Like, you know, in the games that they're supposed to win, is there a bit of I won't say complacency, but they're the team in possession, and they're maybe not as comfortable in possession as other teams.
I think so. Yeah, it just comes with the success of the county in football. It's not been there. There's no pressure when you're the underdog. And they tend to bring it on. But in the league has been, even not just this year, the last few years, Tip have been poor in the league since we got relegated from Division 2. And I hope it's the case that they're saving for Championship again. But at the same time, you don't want to be getting relegated for Division 4. It's an absolute disaster for development of any more players. And you can find yourself getting stuck down there very easily.
Yeah, it would be a disaster for the football. The Camogie are out this weekend as well. They play Offaly on Sunday in the quarterfinal of the league. That's a game we should probably be winning in there, but a bit of a setback with Claude Quirk getting a cruciate injury there over the last couple of days.
Yeah, Claude is a very good player, and she's one of the nailed-on starters in that back line. Very strong player. It's another Bonner situation. It's terrible to see Championship so close, but that's the territory we're in with lack of preparation and stuff. It's just unlucky as well, but should be beaten awfully bet Dublin by a couple of points in their group and got a fairly big trimming against Kilkenny. But in the direction they're going, they're developing all the time, should be beating them comfortably enough if they want to be taking the next step. So into semi-final, probably get Cork or Galway. A big test before Championship, and they need a good performance against either one of those.
Yeah.
Just to get confidence that they can beat them.
Yeah. Sean, the ladies footballers got a bit of a trimming against Waterford the weekend. They have Dublin this Saturday night on TG4. That'll be a huge ask for them. Waterford was probably a game they might have been targeting to win, but they'll be up against it against Dublin.
Oh yeah, for sure. And on TV again, you know, with the game there previous Friday again on TV, but just a game I won't be expecting to get a performance now is kind of where it'd be going, but hard to see more than that, to be honest.
Yeah, it'll be that game is live on TG4 on Saturday night. On the home front, the 2020 championships are looking like being finished. NW might get a Junior A medal with Toome. You're up against the Rovers in around the 19th of July, I think, isn't it? And it's great to see club games back, isn't it?
Savage, yeah, that's something to look forward to. The lads are eager to get going back into it. Now it's been a long 6-7 months after winning the North, and then, you know, it's unusual and it's hard to get your head back into it, but they've a hard match against Arvale, first team, so we've been knocking on
them. I say some of them junior A teams have wintered well, I say. They'd be lads come back. He'll be a full forward rather than a wing forward.
Yeah, it won't be as sharp as you'd expect, but I won't be complaining anyway if we can get to that county final. We've been knocking on the door there at that level for a few years. Yeah. I think we're well good enough to win it, so fingers crossed.
Yeah, and today it was announced that there'll be 100 spectators allowed from Monday the 7th to games. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? I suppose from an administrator's point of view, it's an absolute disaster to who's get the tickets, but at least it's probably signs of things are opening up a bit, Sean.
Yeah, have they released any old system, Mike, how they want to do it, or
no? Sure, it was only just released by Crow Park.
They were trying to do some, or thinking maybe some card that you have yourself and they top it up online, then they tap it at the gate to go in, like, but
right.
I don't know if that's like so. It's like the gatekeepers on here are going to think they're the be all and end all, like their power of. The ones in the Viz bet jackets come into more of them there the past 2 years. Jesus Christ, like, to drive him mad. Like, but like, so some of the feet are so open, like, it's impossible. Like, there's going to be games on in place. Like, if lads walk on to now league game or whatever, the county league games and starting back, like, are they going to take money off the gate or are they going to make sure you have a ticket online for a county league game? It's a bit, you know, it's.
I'm sure we'll hear more about that over the coming weeks. But yeah, you mentioned the county league. County league draws were done, or teams were put into groups. I'm an eye over it. The county league is forever been tinkered with, and now we have a situation where it's only the Dan Breen teams are in one group. And I think you're in with Kildare, and is it Kildare and Borsalee or something? And you could have to play them. You could have to play them three times this year. Like, I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't see the point of why they had to change it, to be honest.
Yeah.
Is it just for the sake of it? Shortening the games? There's plenty of time to get the games played in the format that was there while the Inter-County Championship was going on during the summer.
But even, you didn't even have to change the format. You could have changed the format as in there was eight teams or two groups of eight in Division 1. Why not just have four groups of four in Division 1 and like, leave the teams. I know that with the Kickhams had been promoted to Division 2. Now they're back in what's an intermediate league. Like, why? Surely they have played their way up into Division 2 and deserve to be getting the better games. That's the
absolutely. And is that going to go back to the way it was last year, next year, or is this going to be the format going forward?
Sure, nobody knows. Like, why? If it is only just thrown together for this year, I don't know. I don't know why it wasn't left the way it was. Yeah. We're forever trying to get clubs to play county league and take county league seriously.
Yeah.
And then we're forever tinkering with it, pissing people off.
Yeah.
One of the three months spell there, where like you're only playing like groups of four, playing three matches over 3 months. Like they could have groups eight. Like, I can't see.
It doesn't make any sense. The whole point of putting it that way is so teams would actually have a goal at the end of every year and at the start of every year and they'd know where they stand.
Yeah.
You know, changing it every year, there's going to be less interest.
Yeah, exactly. Clubs aren't going to take it seriously. And also the timing of it. With I know everyone was mad for games, but I mean, if you were, as you said, there was plenty of time to play a 7-round league. But if you're going to go with a 4-round league, why not start it in July and let the teams finish the 2020 championships in June and just give them on to finishing, and then the likes of Toome's second team isn't in the county league, but Arvale Rovers are, yet they have to try and prepare for a county semi-final as well. It just doesn't, it's not fair on them, in my opinion.
And the other side of the coin is these are junior hurlers, only a few weeks preparation, they'll be back playing the match week on week to win a county final.
Yeah,
as they get injured and then they'll be intermediate and they're at behind black ball already, you know. Yeah. So it's difficult that way as well.
And what's the rush of playing off? Like, we're playing Bracken, I think, 2 weeks' time, weekend of 13th. And say if played three games, one after another. That's come the end of June, that's it. So July and August, I don't know, sitting around looking at each other. Like, Like, you know, Ulster can start getting challenges out of the county and going here and there. But if the facilities in the county playing county league games, why don't they offer it? Like, and there is going to, like, they could get gates happening, small gates, and, you know, get something going.
Like, we have the 2020 intermediate West final now down for the 12th here in the West Tipperary. And Kappa are in the final. We're waiting on Kickens or Gatio. But we're also down to play the first round of the county league at 12 o'clock on the 13th. Like, I mean, you physically can't put out the two teams for those games, because whatever about doing that 8 weeks or 9 weeks into training, you can't do it on three or 4 weeks training.
And he had made those fixtures weeks ago, Mike, hadn't he?
The minute we were told we were allowed to play games from the 7th, the last year's final was fixed.
Jesus, like, you'd wonder.
I don't understand it. I don't know what the rush is with it, but, anyway, it is what it is. It's great, I suppose, to have games, and we'll drive on from there, is all we can do.
Are you looking for an exciting new career? Iconic News are recruiting for the positions of Media Sales Specialist. Iconic is Ireland's largest independently owned newspaper group with an unrivaled audience in print, online and mobile. We are now seeking media sales specialists to join the advertising sales team working on the Tipperary Star, the Nationalist and TipperaryLive.ie, offering a competitive salary and massive career progression to the right fit. To apply, please email your CV to ocooper@iconicnewspapers.ie.
Don't forget to like, rate, review and tell your friends about this podcast, and subscribe on SoundCloud and Spotify or wherever you get your podcast so you don't miss another episode. Now, Tip Camogie played the National League quarterfinal versus Offaly on this Sunday coming, and earlier Enda sat down with Tipperary trainer Dennis Kelly to discuss it.
Looking ahead to this week's Camogie action, I'm joined by Tipperary Camogie selector Dennis Kelly. Dennis, thanks for coming on.
Thanks very much for having me, Enda.
Dennis, league quarterfinal at the weekend against Offaly. Happy to be in another quarterfinal, happy to have another match to look at players.
Yeah, it's great to have another match now. It's good to, you know, the league matches are good preparation for the championship. So we're delighted to get another game anyway, and hopefully maybe we'll get a semi-final, but we have a big job ahead of us at the weekend. So we'll look to that first and see where we go from there.
Yeah, so an Offaly team that had a good win against Dublin to qualify for the quarterfinal. And we've had tricky matches against Dublin in the past, so it won't be an easy task.
Yeah, look, if you're playing Dublin in the morning, you'd be worried about them. So you know, we have to treat Offaly with respect as well. They had a great win against Dublin. Not so good the last day, but Kilkenny are strong, and you know, they're still short. Maybe there were short a couple of players going into that game. So we won't be treating them lightly anyway. We'll be taking them fairly serious at the weekend and trying to get a good performance out of our girls.
That's so far in the league, a decent performance against Cork, barring a few sloppy goals, and a good outing against Waterford to get back on track. What's been the main goal of the league so far for management? Is it a case of getting results or getting players playing?
Yeah, we're trying to get a look at everyone. I suppose we're trying to get a good backbone to our team first up. And we think we've achieved that to date. And then we're trying to find, you know, where players best fit in the system we're playing. So look, we're happy enough the way it's going. We probably played a good 15 minutes against Cork. A good half an hour maybe against Waterford. So we'll be looking for 60 minutes now the next day against Offaly if we can.
And we just seen the unfortunate news yesterday about Claude Quirk. Is that kind of an example of where you need to rotate coming into these games at such a quick turnaround, having not had collective training for so long?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put it down to that. You know, Claude had an injury before. She's a massive loss. It's just an unfortunate collision she had in the Waterford game. But look, she's massive loss. It's like the hurlers losing Brendan Maher or Paddy Maher or Ronan or one of those. You know, it's the equivalent of that. So you know, it's huge boots to fill. But look, that's why we have a panel, I suppose, and we're going to have a look on Sunday to see who can fill those boots. But they're big boots to fill.
And just going forward in the league, Dennis, is it a case the further you get into it, the more you want to win it, or will you approach every game the same, regardless of the stage it's at?
Yeah, we'll just take it one game at a time. We're delighted to get the quarter final. If we get a semi final, then we'll approach that the same way. But it's you know, overall we're looking at the championship in about 7 weeks' time now at this stage. So it's all building up to that. But you know, the more games we can win, the happier we'll be.
And are you looking to get the same momentum last year? Kind of, I know you weren't involved, but last year they had the win against Galway and the whole COVID thing kind of stagnated that progress of beating one of the big teams. Do you think you need to get a win over the likes of Cork, Galway or Kilkenny just to get that momentum and a bit of confidence going into championship?
Look, we'll see if we get, if we come up against them, we'd be looking to get one over on them. But look, they are the big three. That's, you know, that's why we were getting involved. We're trying to get a break into that top three, and, you know, top two or even further. So look, that's where we're aiming for. But we'll take it one game at a time. If we can beat Offaly at the weekend, then we'll be looking forward to either Cork maybe or Galway after that. Probably Galway if we get through. But we're only taking one match at a time at the moment.
And just to get your opinion on it, broke yesterday that the outstanding 2020 club championship games will be played in November. Is that nice to put that dispute to bed? I suppose it probably would have upset or been on the minds of the Drummond, Turles players in the panel. Is it nice to get that out of the way?
Yeah, it's nice to get that sorted. It's a delight for the girls that, you know, we have a lot of girls between Turles Airsfields and Drummond Inch on our panel. So I'm delighted for them that they're going to get a chance to play it out. You know, and it's working out probably better for us with the county set up as well, that we're not going to be interrupted for 2 or 3 weeks there. If we had to lose both them sets of players, we'd be down to small numbers. So it's coming at a good time. I suppose the question is what they'll do with next year's or this coming year's club championship. But look, that's something for to worry about later on. But no, I'm delighted they're getting a chance to play it out.
That's great, Dennis. Thanks for coming on to the Premier View podcast.
Thanks for having me, Enda. Thank you.
This week's local paper review is the GA and the Tipperary Star, and I sat down with Noel Dundon to review the paper.
Okay, Noel, another bumper edition of sport in the Tipperary Star this week, page 64 to 72 there. We'll head straight to the back page. Your headline there is Hurlers head for Mullingar as footballers to duel with Longford, and we'll start there. The Hurlers are off to Mullingar, round four of the National League against Westmead. I think Westmead are at minus 66 in score difference. They've got a couple of trimmings, especially against Cork. What do you expect from Tip this weekend?
Well, sure, you'd expect the points anyway, wouldn't you? I think anything other than a Tip victory would be nothing short of a disaster, I suppose, really, you know, to be a big, big shock. But, I suppose I'd also expect maybe to see a few of the fringe players getting a look, so that we can see maybe what they can do. And you'd be, you know, maybe hoping that Seamus Callan might make his return as well after that back injury. The reports have been pretty good of him in training. Mm-hmm. He's been doing well enough and is back in contact and all that. So it might be an ideal game to ease him back into things, you know, trying not to be disrespectful to Westmead in saying that, you know, but it would seem like, you know, that they would have been earmarking a game like that. They played Dublin last weekend, perhaps a game like that too, where you can actually ease a guy back into physical contact play, you know. So hopefully we'll see Shamey back. You know, maybe we'll see Alan Tynan making an appearance. We haven't seen him in a Tip Hurling jersey in a long number of years, you know, back to when he was minor. And there was a lot of sort of excitement when he was brought into the panel originally and named in the panel for probably a specific purpose, you know, as a big man and a ball winner and all that. But we haven't seen him so far. And maybe next Saturday might be the chance to see him as well. Billy McCarthy, I'm not quite sure where he's at, whether he's back in contention for a place in the squad. I don't know. Liam did say earlier on that he was targeting a June return. Technically speaking, June is with us now, only barely. But I don't know whether he had this game at the back of his mind, maybe when he was saying that, or maybe it's later in June. I don't really know, but it would be nice to see Billy making an appearance as well at some stage soon, you know.
Yeah, Andrew Ormond is one you mentioned in the piece there from the Brackens Club. Another young man, I think he's, what, 20, 21 now. He did quite well in the 20s there last year. Showed well. He's a man that could get a shot as well.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose from watching Bracken's underage and from watching Our Ladies Temple Moor as well, Andrew Ormond was a player that always stood out as being a very, very good forward, a great pace and a great goal getter. And
we saw that then. We saw him progressing through the tip minors onto the tip under 20s, and he was probably our standout forward last year, you know. And, you know, there was maybe a few eyebrows raised when he wasn't introduced to the squad. The squad that was announced in January there, early January, Andrew wasn't in that group. And, you know, the kind of the feeling, I suppose, was that he would have needed a good bit of S&C to get him up to speed in terms of physicality and all that. So it wasn't really a major surprise then when the rumour mill began to circulate that he was there in the extended panel. And now he's pushing on. He's been going very well in training. And from what I hear, he's very close to making it into the panel for the match day panel. So it'll be interesting to see if Saturday is the day. Again, you would think it would be an ideal opportunity, you know.
To get some game time. Two other guys, yeah, who have been around all the last three or four games. One has played, Brian McGrath. He got two games and came on the last day. Owen Connolly has been part of the match day 26. Yeah. Was out west, or mad to get a west man on the team. Connolly had a very strong under 20 career. Could we see him? This is again another ideal game possibly for Owen.
Yeah, and like his graph has been on the rise since he came into the tip setup, you know, as a very young under 21 at the time. You know, you would think that he deserves to get a shot, maybe even on the basis of the under 20 campaign last year alone, because he really kept that back line together and hurled across the line a really, really powerful performance in games when we weren't playing well, even in the Munster final against Cork, you know, when things weren't going well. Owen Connolly was keeping the team there, really, you know. I'd love to see him get a look, love to see him get a chance, just to see how he'll fare up. But like, there's no panic with him either, you know. He has time on his hands, and it does take a player a while to bed in at senior level. Some will bed in far quicker. I'm thinking of the likes of Pádraig Maher, who practically came from minor into the senior team. But unfortunately, there aren't 100 Pádraig Mahers around the place either. But Owen Connolly might just be one of those players too, Michael. You know, he's a guy who doesn't get fazed by things and just plays the game as he sees it. So, you know, maybe Saturday will be the opportunity for him as well.
Yeah. The goalkeeping situation, Brian Hogan was named to start the last day and didn't due to injury. And Barry has played the three games. How do you see that one falling? I would imagine whoever is in the goal this weekend, well, I suppose maybe without being too disrespectful to Westmead, probably won't get a lot to do. So is there any benefit to changing your keeper this week?
Yeah, well, I would say that the intention was to give Brian Hogan the game the last day, you know. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, he picked up that concussion in training. There must be something against the Larrimen. The two Larrimen got injured with poor old Bonner as well, you know. But I would imagine that Liam would be anxious to get Brian Hogan in the goals for a run out. Mm-hmm. And like, Barry Hogan has been very good for Tip. He hasn't had an awful lot to do in terms of shot stopping, you know, which is a kind of an indication of the way the games are being played at the moment. But his distribution is really good and his handling is very good. You know, he didn't put a foot wrong, to be fair to Barry. He didn't put a foot wrong at all. But I suppose if we're going on the basis that Brian Hogan is our number one, you know, an all-star goalkeeper and all that, he's going to need matches before championship. There are only two left now, possibly. So I would think that it'll be about trying to get game time into Brian Hogan, you know.
Yeah. The last 10 games against Westmead, we don't play them too often. The last 10 games in the league stretch back to 1938. 8-2.
I wasn't around for that one now myself. Yeah. I don't know if you were, but I wasn't.
Oh, no. 8-2 in tips favour. Those two losses came in the 80s. In the two games we played against them in the 80s, when I suppose we weren't going too great. There's no danger of that happening, but there isn't.
I don't think so. To be fair, I don't think so. You know, I think Westmead have found it tough in the division. But you know what? It's something that they're learning from too. And I saw their coach was there's an interview with him in the Independent today, and you know, he speaks very well. And there was a kind of a comment at the start that he might have been a little bit shell shocked by the Galway result, because you know Galway were relentless in their pursuit of scores even when the game was put beyond them. But I think he kind of acknowledges that that's the kind of relentlessness that you need if you're going to be competing with the big boys. And they were in a group of sharks, really, to be yeah. fair, you know. So there wasn't going to be a lot of joy for them. But you'd have to admire Westmeath. You'd have to admire where they've come from, and the fact that they're taking on the big boys with fairly limited resources. He's openly admitted that, you know, the league is just a stepping stone to the championship for them, which it probably is for all counties, to be mm-hmm. fair. You know, we're probably all looking at it in that sense. But I think it would be an extraordinary shock if they were to secure a third victory over us. And you know that that team that Westmeath had back in the 80s, like they were decent. You know, they were kind of competing with some of the better teams there. And I mean, if we weren't maybe counted in that category at the time, because we weren't going well at all. But you know, they were competing well with teams, and they pulled off a few shock results in their time in those days. You know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Just it's not mentioned in the paper, but just as a matter of interest, Westmeath being in Division One, and I suppose as you mentioned, they're in a group of sharks. Does that yeah. do them any good? Should we'll say 1B have maybe three teams in it that can compete, like the likes of Kerry, your Antrim, Westmeath, Laois, maybe to a certain extent, that are on yeah. the same level? Would that be better for teams to make them progress?
It probably would. I mean, like, you know, while we're saying that it benefits Westmeath by being in with the big boys, to what extent does it benefit? Would they be better off being up against teams that the counties that they can be very competitive with? You know, a hiding doesn't do them any good, and hiding doesn't do the winner any good either, you know. Yeah. So, like, I mean, I suppose, look at, you can probably learn from the kind of culture that the bigger counties will bring, the more successful counties will bring. You can probably learn from that culture, all right. But it mightn't feel very educational if you're being beaten by 20 points every game or every outing, you know. But like that's the system that's there right now, and probably the whole COVID thing hasn't helped it either, because of the way the divisions are divided up, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So look, just moving on then, we're going to just inside the back page there, page 1771, and the footballers, they obviously played awfully last weekend, lost. Yeah. Did well for 55 minutes, was 1-11 apiece at that stage, but yeah. really fell to pieces after that. Was that down to, I suppose, lack of a panel maybe, or fitness, do you think?
Yeah, maybe a little bit of both. You know, the injury situation certainly didn't help either. We finished with two players on the field who were injured and couldn't get around the place because we had our subs in. We had two players gone off the field through injury before halftime in Colm O'Shaughnessy and Emmett Maloney. And having started poorly, the management made a number of changes very quickly as well. So suddenly there were four subs in by halftime, you know.
Yeah.
So look, it was you're going to be limited then in what you could bring in after that. I think it was a point that David Power made in the very early days, maybe even during lockdown when we got to talk to him at one stage, that the seven subs rule was going to benefit the stronger counties because their depth will be that bit greater, you know.
Yeah.
And so that probably has fed into the situation with Tip as well last Saturday. Fatigue as well was a factor, I would say. Now you'd say, well, the other counties were playing the same number of games, but you always feel more tired when you're on the back foot than you do if you're driving on. And they were unfortunate too, Michael. I mean, there was, you know, one particular incident at the very start of the last quarter when the sides were level pegging, two Tip guys went up for the same ball. and the ball broke to Offaly and they went down and kicked the score and they just ploughed on after that. Mm-hmm. Offaly just ploughed through Tip after that. And it was like as though the dam had broken, you know, and there was just no stopping them. Within 3 or 4 minutes, the game was over. You know,
Niall McNamee came on for Offaly there at that time.
Made a huge difference.
Yeah, he's a warrior. I mean, he came on, he kicked three, and I think he had two wides as well. And in the previous two games, he had 2 points coming off the bench as well. He's a great addition to them and seems to have accepted that role, doesn't he, McNamee?
He does. And like, you know, some players find it difficult to come off the bench and make an impact, but that wasn't the case with Niall McNamee, you know. He came in and you know, there was almost like an aura about him, you know, and it was like as though as soon as he came on and started to have the impact, the other players around him were running off him straight away because they knew what was going to happen, that he was going to feed him or at least create the gap for him to get into a scoring position. You know, players would run away, take a defender with him, and that suddenly creates a space for him, you know. So it was a difficult one for Tip. You'd have to feel sorry for the panel at the moment, for the management, because they can't buy a break at the moment, you know. Even the situation with the toss and having to go to Longford now going against them, you know, they just cannot buy a break at the minute.
Yeah, David Power, you were speaking to David Power there, and on the bottom of the page there, he talks about unforced errors and then also alludes to the injuries and that. Like, I mean, we started the league, like it hasn't been a good league campaign, I suppose, by any matter of means, but I mean, to start without our first choice half back line, considering the way they played last year, we were on the back foot straight away, weren't we?
We were, and like, if that's your platform from which you build, and we saw that in the Munster final, we attacked Cork from the half back line, driving forward, and you know, obviously Colin O'Riordan was there in the half forward line as well, or midfield, wherever he kind of showed up on the field. You know, a huge addition as well, and a huge loss now. But like, you know, Michael Quinlivan is missing, a real target man there, and you do feel that our captain Conor Sweeney is a little bit isolated inside, that there's very little ball coming into him, and when he does get ball, he's got 2 or 3 guys around him. I guess that's the price you pay for being an all-star now, you know. Everybody knows you and that. But I thought Philip Ryan did very well when he came on, you know. Snapped a couple of scores and that too. And he's going to be an addition, I think, you know. Conor Bowe also did very well. A new player to the senior team. Little bit kind of green, maybe. Got blocked down once or twice, having a go for a score. So the kind of opportunities that you take if you're playing with your club, but when it comes into county, you know, a guy will nip in and get a hand in and block you. Great exposure for him, you know, you know, you just kind of feel that David always said that he wanted to get out of Division 3. Unfortunately, the way we're going, the only way out is going to be back down. Nobody wants to see that happen, you know, and it'd be a disaster if it did happen.
Yeah, you spoke about the toss there, and the toss has just annoyed me because we finished third, and obviously Longford had finished fourth in their group, yet they get the home venue. It seems that there was maybe not enough thought put into this when they were making up the leagues at the start of the season.
Yeah, it kind of seems as though when the thing was being decided at the start, we're just so glad to get playing games that almost anything goes, you know, and maybe the real nitty gritty detail mightn't have been thought out. Did I see somewhere today? Is it 8 teams are playing in relegation across the country out of 20 or something like that? You know, I saw a figure somewhere anyway. And it just seemed ridiculous, you know.
Yeah, and 2 provincial winners from 2020, Cavan, are also in relegation.
Two
as well.
Provincial winners have the possibility of being in Division 4 of the National Football League, which is incredible. I don't know if that has ever happened before.
Yeah, no, it's a crazy one. But they were the rules, I suppose. We all played. We all knew the rules before we started playing.
Yeah, that's right.
So yeah, that Longford game is going ahead now on the weekend of the 13th. I think it's up in Longford at 3:45 on the Sunday. Going on to page 68 and 69, bottom of page 69 under your own column there, Noel, is the draws for the County League, and we obviously got fixtures then for the minor and under 20. County Leagues in Tip, the ever-evolving County League, another one that gets on my goat a little bit, but we're gone now to a County League where it's all the Dan Breen teams are in one group, James Arreen teams are in other groups, and intermediates gone are the Division 1, 2, 3, and 4. Was there a need to break up the leagues, do you think, or should they have been left?
I wonder, like, is it, you know, if we're looking at a situation where our divisional championship is going to be totally separate from our county championship, and we still don't have clarification on that, which seems crazy, doesn't it, at this stage of the year, you know? How long ago is Congress at this stage, you know? But
Well, I think for this year, it's the county board have already said that it won't be part of the county championship. They have.
But the sort of official line hasn't come from Croke Park yet as to what the ruling is going to be, you know. But, you know, the thinking, there was a thought out there that if the divisions were going to be part of the county championship, that let's say if you take Mid Tipperary, that the Dan Breen teams in Mid Tipperary would have to play to decide who would come through from that division, and the same in the Seamus O'Regan. And, you know, we're kind of in a situation here where, you know, if you just take the group one there of the hurling, you've got Borrisleigh, Kilrawan, Loughmore, Tumivara. So they're going to meet in the county league. They're going to meet in the county championship at some stage. And if you take Borrisleigh, Kilrawan and Tumivara, the chances are they're going to meet in the North Championship. So, I mean, there's going to be a hell of a lot of familiarity there between those clubs and that. And you just kind of, the same in Group B, you've got Nina, Ross Gray, and you have Brackens and Sarsis, who will probably meet, if you take Sarsis and Brackens, they're probably meeting the Cal Cup. They're going to meet in the Mid-Championship. They're going to meet in the Mid-League, you know, County League. You know, it's just the beauty of the County League in its original format was that you got to play teams or clubs maybe that you weren't playing against too often. And it gave a little bit of variety. Now, it will be different in the sense that you won't have county men playing because they'll be tied up with the county team and that. And that'll hit some clubs and it won't hit more clubs. But look, that's where we're at. Again, I think players will be just mad to play a match. They're not going to maybe particularly care about who they're playing against and play.
I just think in 2019, I think it was Kickhams won the Division 3 league, which put them into Division 2. And now they're back in, I suppose, potentially what's Division 4, if you get me. You know, we're forever trying to get teams to play leagues, but we're forever tinkering with them then. So it's trying to find that balance, I suppose, really is the thing.
It is. And like, you know, clubs have treated the county league in different fashions. Different clubs have treated them differently. Some have used them as an opportunity to bring through young fellas and, you know, try and blood players and create a kind of a spirit in the team. Others have used them as almost like a nuisance. Just get them played, just get them out of the way, and we go and play our competitive challenge games elsewhere. Now, Tom Maher, the secretary of the CCC, has always been, and indeed Joe Kendi as well, to be fair to him, when he was chairman of CCC as well, has always said, you know, these games are there to be played. They're there to be enjoyed. And sometimes when you get to the serious end of championship, it can be very serious business, you know. The county leagues are there for players to get matches and to enjoy them and maybe try out a few things. But a lot of clubs don't seem to want to do that. The last thing they want to do is play a county league game, you know?
Sometimes those finals, I think back to, was it a Ballinahinch won a final there? And I think it was after, it might have been around October, November time, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And it was one of the best games of the year. Lads hurled with abandon, I suppose.
Exactly, yeah, and nothing major to lose, you see, you know, and the fear of losing and the fear of cutting loose is often stifling for players and for clubs, you know.
Page 68 then, Noel. Before we move on, there was two things in your own piece there I wanted to bring up with you. The county board are finishing off some championships from 2020. So we have the junior B, the junior A hurling, which is set. That's probably the most important competition of the lot, that junior A hurling. Tumi Vara, Arval Rovers is set for the weekend of the 19th, and the mid-champions Holy Cross versus whoever comes out of the south, the Swan or Grange Faulkner on the weekend of the 26th. That needs to be finished, I suppose, quickly, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. And it's good that they're playing it, I think. You know, for the clubs involved and for the players involved, it's a nice thing to be able to play. I suppose they could be in a rather unique situation in that if a player was playing on a junior team that happened to win a county championship, and they could, if they were lucky enough, they could also be on a senior team that would win a county championship in the same year, you know. So it could be a very unique situation in a very unique set of circumstances, you know.
Yeah, and the other thing you mentioned there was streaming. Streaming is going to be a thing again this year.
Yeah,
you were an advocate for streaming, but maybe not for the commentators.
Well, no, that was a tongue-in-cheek kind of a comment. You know? So, there has been, you know, look, I think everybody acknowledges that there are extraordinary efforts and lengths that clubs and boards and divisions went to last year to bring the games to people. By accident, the games were broadcast to people who would never see them usually, you know, and that was a marvellous thing. And it has only gotten better and better as the year went on. You know, I mean, the quality of some of the productions were really, really good. And you kind of ask yourself when you see RTE coming down to broadcast games and they've got van loads of stuff coming with them, you know, how a fellow with a camera can do as good a job, you know. But some of the commentaries have been brilliant, you know, they've been very colourful. A lot of fellas maybe who fancy themselves behind the microphone have found an outlet, and plenty of other fellas who are standing behind the fella behind the microphone as well have found outlets, you know. But it's a great thing, and like I know myself from having friends and relations all over the country, and they're able to log on to the county board website or onto the club website or the club Facebook page or whatever to watch games. Brilliant stuff. People confined to home, people confined to hospitals and that are able to get them. You know, it's really, really good, and it's a way forward, I think, you know.
I think we did one in the West here last year. I don't know, was it the junior final or the senior final, but it was broadcast in a pub in London, and I'd say there was more people at the in the pub on the big screen watching it than there was at the match, you know.
yeah, that's the thing, yeah. No, it's a really good thing, and like, you know, there haven't been too many upsides of COVID, but this maybe was one of them, that it has brought us kicking and screaming into the 21st century, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Page 68 then, the ladies footballers unfortunately went down again to near neighbours Waterford. There was nine or 10 points in it at the end. It's been a struggle for Declan Kerr to get off and running in the league this year, hasn't it?
It has. They would probably have been looking to the Waterford game maybe as being the one, because they're in a group. We talked about the group of Sharks or Westmead. The Tip footballers are in a little bit of a group of Sharks as well, with Dublin and Cork, you know. And also they're missing the few players. And really, whether it's the Tip ladies footballers or the men's football team, we can't really afford to be missing people, you know. I think Orla Dwyer is on her way home, maybe even home at this stage. Aisling McCarthy hopefully will come back as well, and they'd certainly be big additions to the team. But like, the against Cork, Tip were competitive for a long time. Against Waterford, the goals were the killer, you know. We just gave away goal after goal, and just when you think you're beginning to get a little bit of a grip on things, there's another goal gone in. You'd have to give them credit. They stayed battling right to the very end and managed a couple of goals near the end through Roisin Howard. But I think they're learning. They're probably a step or two behind in terms of strength and conditioning as well. And that's something that Declan will be working on. But it's not something that you can work on week to week. It takes a season or two. to get players up to speed in terms of strength and conditioning. I thought that was particularly obvious against Cork. Maybe not so obvious against Waterford, but it's definitely obvious against Cork. And unfortunately, I think you'll see it again against Dublin this weekend.
Yeah. Aisling Maloney was in the middle of the field, or started in the middle of the field. She got 8 points, I think 5 from frees. But yeah. She, I spoke with Samantha Lambert there last week, and we were kind of saying maybe she'd be better off near the goal, you know. But I suppose with the two players you mentioned in Orla and Aisling McCarthy, they both need watching, probably similar to Conor Sweeney with the footballers. Yeah. When Quinlivan is on, Sweeney probably has a little bit more space, you know, because yes. He's being watched. That probably comes up for Aisling Maloney too.
Yeah, I think so. And I think in the Cork game, particularly, Michael, you could see that when she was named at wing forward for the Cork game and played very deep for the first half and maybe a little bit of the second half as well. And she was providing great cover there. But as soon as she was moved into the full forward line, that cover was gone and the floodgates opened. You know, that's the way it looked to me anyway. So like, it's kind of, you know, where's the best place to play her? You play her close to the goals if you're looking for scores. But by doing that, you maybe leave yourself exposed further out the field. And then if you play her out the field, you don't have that danger element inside, you know. So it's the $10 million question for Declan Carr and his management team. But you know, again, when you get more bodies back, it'll be a different Tipperary team to championship. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, I think I saw it was Stephen Gleeson interviewed Orla Dwyer there, and she, as you said, she's on her way home, and that she's hoping to make it back onto the two tip teams. I don't see any scenario where Orla doesn't walk back into the Tipperary jersey in either code, I suppose, really.
Yeah, particularly the football, because yeah. You know, she'd get up to speed very quickly, and that her hurling might need a couple of weeks to get the touch back and all that type of thing, but. I mean, you'd imagine the jersey's just hanging on the on the peg waiting for her, wouldn't you?
You would, absolutely.
Hopefully she can stay injury-free now.
And we need her. Page 66 then, Noel, Tipperary GA scene with Jonathan Cullen, Tipperary GA PRO. Bit of information there. Again, one piece I want to pick out, a man I didn't know, but maybe you might. Johnny Everard passed away. May he rest in peace. Johnny, who he just celebrated his 97th birthday, but was the oldest man alive with an All-Ireland medal. Had you come across him in the mid-division over the years?
Yes, yeah. A legendary name, you know, a legendary figure in mid-Tipperary and with his club, Mind Temple 2. The Everard family would be synonymous with GAA and with Mind Temple 2, and indeed with Greyhound Racing as well. He would have been very well known in Greyhound racing circles too. He worked in Thurles Greyhound Stadium for a long time. The grandfather, of course, of Conor Bow as well, you know, the tip footballer.
Yeah.
And we actually had a picture in the paper there only about maybe a month ago. With Johnny with his All-Ireland medal from 1950 and Conor Bow with his All-Ireland medal from it was 2019 and Johnny's son Brendan an All-Ireland minor medal as well, so it was a nice picture to have, but it was sad then that Johnny passed away during last week. A great GA man and a great Mind Temple 2 man. He loved they had a pub in the village, and he loved being in the pub and meeting people and talking games and talking greyhounds and all that. You know, he was a real character. And 1950, he won his All-Ireland. That's a long time ago now.
And won a Munster junior football title in 52 as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. A dual star. And he went on that trip to the US with the tip team in 1950 after they won the All-Ireland. And by all accounts, it was a great trip. There's a great story told of when Tip arrived in New York, and there was a team of reporters there waiting to meet them long before mass media came into being. And so they looked for somebody to get a few quotes off of, and the one nominated was the captain. Sean Kenny. And when they asked him, started questioning him, Sean Kenny answered him in Irish. Oh. And of course, none of them had a clue. They were baffled what was going on. So that story has gone down in legend as well, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Very good. Yeah, and just to finish up then, there's some club notes and stuff all over the paper there, which is great to see. And the Camogies are the Division 2 team went down to Kerry there last weekend, a very strong Kerry team. And yes. The senior, the Division 1 team are out this weekend, this Sunday, against Offaly in the quarterfinal of the league. A game we probably should be winning, even though we don't know too much about Offaly, I'd say.
Yeah, you'd imagine so, given where we would consider ourselves to be at this stage, you know. As far as the second team goes, it's almost like a third team, really, because there's a 40-member squad with Bill Mullaney's crew, and Keane Tracy, the manager there, is really working off of another string again. But their goal there has been and their aim has been to play a lot of younger players to try and bring them through. While they lost to Kerry, again, it would have been very good experience for those players in terms of their development. As for the first team, that game against Offaly would be an important one for them. They've been, I suppose, disappointing in some respects with some of the performances. Again, they've lost a few, you know. Yeah. We mentioned Orla Dwyer. She probably would come back into that team if she's going to go with the dual team. And also Aisling Maloney then elected to stay solely with the footballers. But, Bill Mullaney has put together a very good backroom team there too. And you've got guys like Dennis Kelly there and Angelo Walsh. They're really putting in a big effort there. So I'm not so sure how much of an emphasis they'll be putting on the league. I think they'll be more concentrating on being right for championship, which is part of what every team will be doing. But look, there's still the base of a very strong team there when you consider Mary Ryan at full back and Karen Kendi at centre back. Clodagh Quirk is a big loss as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention her. She had a cruciate injury, and we wish her all the best. But that's a big tough loss for her, isn't it?
A big blow. It is indeed, because again, as you say, you can't really afford to be missing people. A cruciate again, like it's kind of the cruciate curse is there again, like and a number of the Camogie players have had it, and it's not it's as prevalent in Camogie as it is with the lads, you know. And what we have seen of it, I suppose, it's not a career threatener like it used to be. No. But it's your year gone, isn't it? You know,
it sure is. It is. Yeah, I mean, it's a 9-month recovery, isn't it? At best. That's perfect, Noel. 8 pages, as I said, a bumper edition of Sport. 8 pages of Sport there in the tips there this week. Get out and buy your local paper. Noel Dundon, it was a pleasure to have you on the Premier View. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you.
Are you looking for an exciting new career? Iconic News are recruiting for the positions of Media Sales Specialist. Iconic is Ireland's largest independently owned newspaper group with an unrivaled audience in print, online and mobile. We are now seeking Media Sales Specialists to join the advertising sales team working on the Tipperary Star, The Nationalist and TipperaryLive.ie, offering a competitive salary and massive career progression to the right fit. To apply, please email your CV to ocooper@iconicnewspapers.ie.
Well, that's all we have time for this week, folks. Thanks to Dennis and Noel for joining us, and to Ed and Sean for their contributions. Best of luck to the Tipperary teams in action this weekend, and we'll be back with you again next week. Tipperdore na boo.
Mom.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.